be like a river coming up out of your innermost being. Woo! Tell your neighbor, tell him, the Holy Ghost is awesome. There's nothing like being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Friend, it don't matter what's going on in your life. It don't matter how bad it is. When the Holy Ghost intervenes, everything else gets pushed aside. It's me and Jesus time. It's celebration time. Woo! When you get touched by the Holy Ghost, pain has a way of leaving your body. Sorrow has a way of leaving your spirit. Doubt has a way of leaving your mind. Fear has a way of leaving your heart. Oh, there's something about it. Ah. Woo! My. Tell somebody next to you, the Holy Ghost is for everybody. Tell them it is for you. All right, let's make our way back to our seats. Tyrus Brown. Where's Tyrus Brown? TJ? Tyrus Brown, TJ. There's my man right there in front of me. Holy Ghost, somebody put your hands together. The Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Thankful for our guests. I believe it's Gabriel, a guest of Sister Jackson. So honored you were with us. In fact, in mentioning that, I think this is my first Sunday where I can actually take the opportunity to say to Brother and Sister Jackson, welcome back. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the split here. Y'all come back separate or y'all still together? It's good to have them back, members of the church years ago. Is Sister Fletcher here this morning? I know she's moved back down as well. I saw her a couple of Sundays ago. We're excited about that. And then Deidre and Don, right? Stan, Deidre and Don. Got baptized yesterday in Jesus' name. Isn't God awesome? They already have the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I wanted to have a little dilly today about New York, but I forgot. So we'll do it next week. But needless to say, the Lord has blessed Brother and Sister Luma. And we're so thankful for what He is doing there in New York. They went there. There was about six members. The Sunday we were there, last Sunday, was it last Sunday? Was he in New York last Sunday? Yeah. I was in New York last Sunday. And they had 75 on that Sunday morning. Isn't God awesome? God is so awesome. I do want to say pastor and wife is back for a little while. I know y'all about ready to hand me a visitor slip. Man, I heard y'all had church Sunday around this place. Pastor Hannah. Wow. What a precious friend of mine. What a precious brother. What a precious brother. Doing a great work there in Turks and Caicos and dear friends of ours. It's one of the few places around the world I drug my wife to that she wants to go back. I'm not sure why she don't want to go back to these other third world countries. Something Turks and Caicos, she just wants to go back to. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's the beautiful beaches. Got beaches right over there, baby. We were in Lehigh last night. We did an anniversary for a brother over on the other side, and we got in a little late this evening, so I probably won't last long. It's 10 after 12. I'll be done by 2. We have to pack up. Preach the word. I'll tell you something. It is good to be home. You people are the greatest people in the world. This is the most awesome church on the planet. And I've been all over the world. This is the greatest church on the planet, I'm telling you right now. I can't believe some of y'all fix and pack up and leave. I'm not going to call your name. Just going to look at you real mean. I wouldn't leave this church if you paid me. Well, we could negotiate the price maybe, but chances are I wouldn't do it. All right. Let's stand. 1 Samuel chapter 22. Thank you for letting me back in my pulpit. I appreciate it. And I just want to preach for a little while here today. We've had so many precious people join the church lately, filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. What a truth we have. What a truth we have. Not only repentance and baptism and Holy Ghost, but the beauty of separating ourselves unto Christ. Separating ourselves from the world. This is such a wonderful truth. We serve such a powerful God. You'll never find peace. You'll never find joy. No, not lasting joy, lasting peace. Jesus said, I don't give you peace like the world gives you. The world gives you peace and then they take it, you know, they take it away. They give you joy, then they take it away. And God gives you peace. Peace that stays. Amen. Good to see the Pitters. I'm the one that's been gone. Y'all probably been here every Sunday. I think it's the first time I preached in about 6 weeks, isn't it? On a Sunday. Now let me tell you something. I've been here for the last 3 Wednesdays, but about 2/3 of y'all weren't. And we preached a series on Christ in you, and then Christ, then me in Christ, and then we wrapped it up with Christ in you again, but from a different angle. Now, if you weren't here, you need to get the CDs on that series. It'll help you. It'll change your life. The Lord just ministered so beautifully here. Or go to the website and listen to the podcast. You youth leaders, Sean, main guy, Brad and Keith, you need to encourage your young people because they're with y'all on Wednesday nights. Pastor does teaching and direction on Wednesday nights. You tell them kids to put down that controller for about 30 minutes and go listen to what Pastor had to teach on Wednesday night. Go to that podcast and listen to the teaching. Go back to the year 2002 and tell them to start. They need to hear everything. How long? 15 minutes. 60 minutes. I don't teach no hour. Oh, I can't please that woman, I tell you what. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 21. And the word of the Lord says, and Abiathar shewed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg, is that how you say that God's name? Doeg, that's good enough. The Edomite was there, and that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Look at verse number 23. You got to kind of understand the background to really get a meaning of this verse. And so we'll touch on it for just a moment before we continue on with the message here today. Verse number 23. David says to Abiathar, abide thou with me. Everybody say, abide thou with me. Fear not. Say, fear not. He that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But, everybody say, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Abide thou with me, and you shall be in safeguard. I want to talk to us for a few minutes today, especially those that may have joined in to this great, mighty church of God in the last few months or the last year. I just want to speak to you. Abide in the church because you're in safeguard. It don't matter what goes on out there or what goes on around you. You stay in the church, everything's going to be all right. You hang on to the anointed. David was the anointed. You hang on to the anointed, everything's going to work its way out. Because the ones that want to kill you, they're also trying to kill us. But we know how to defeat the enemy that is in our life. We know how to overcome the enemy that's in our life. You stay in the church and everything's going to be all right. Put your hands together for the Lord. Come on. Clap them in praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Turn to two or three people around you and tell them, stay in the church. Tell them, stay in the church. It don't matter what happens to you. It don't matter how many times you fail. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You stay in the church. It's your only hope. It's your place of safety. It's your place of recovery. Lord bless you. You can be seated. Stay with me here just for a little while. I got just a little light message. I'm just preaching today. I'm not pastoring. We're just going to be comforted and strengthened and encouraged by the word of the Lord today. And then pastor will get back to pastoring. And then you can say, man, I wish this guy would go back out somewheres. David says here to Abiathar, he says, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. And what we need to do is get a little background here, just a little bit of understanding of what is going on, what's happening. Because David, just a couple of chapters earlier, he begins to flee for his life. King Saul is pursuing him. Ever since the day when David entered into Jerusalem and King Saul entered in first and David came up from behind him. They had come in from war. And the Bible tells us that the ladies sang on one side of the street. They sang, Saul has killed his thousands. And Saul's chest, King Saul, he bow out and he'd square his shoulders and he was so proud of what he had accomplished. But then all of a sudden from the other side of the street came another group of voices of ladies and they sang, yeah, but David has killed his 10,000s. And when the ears of Saul, King Saul, had heard how that they sang about him, that Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his 10,000. The Bible says that that anger and jealousy got in the heart of King Saul. And he had determined in his mind that he was going to kill David. In fact, he said to himself, the praises of the people are towards David. What is left except that he will take the throne away from me? And so Saul began to pursue David. The Bible tells us that he pursued him like a hound dog would pursue a bird in the bush. Everywhere David would try to hide, Saul would sniff him out. Saul would find him, and David would have to run again. I don't know how long this took place, but David was on the run until the day came that David made it to the house of God, and there were there with a priest. And David walked in, and the head priest said to David, he said, "Have you and your men been clean?" And David said, "Yeah, man, we haven't seen a woman, much less touch one. We've been running for our life for months. We're all clean." And he gave him bread from the house of God. David was about to leave, but something caught his eye behind the ephod. Hidden in the tabernacle was the sword of Goliath. And when David's eyes lighted upon that sword, something began to go through him. He remembered the battle with the bear while he was watching over God's sheep. He remembered the battle with the lion when he was watching over the sheep of God, and how that they trained him and prepared him for the great battle against the giant in the valley of Elah called Goliath. And David remembered the anointing that came upon him and how the power of God overshadowed him. And David said, "Priest, can I have that sword? Can I take it with me?" And the priest said, "Yeah, here it is. If you want it, you can have it." David said, "Do I want it? There's nothing like it. Why, David? Because it reminds me of my victory. It reminds me of provision. It reminds me of God's protection." So prior to all of this happening, David had been chased by Saul, but now he had gotten his hand upon the sword of Goliath. He's got a renewed spirit. He's got a renewed attitude. Victory's come back in his life. In fact, when you study the Word of God, you'll find that David never fled from Saul from that day forward. Instead, he began to do some things like go down to the camp of Saul and get his spear, get his bottle of water. He went into a cave, cut off a piece of Saul's garments. He was showing Saul over and over, "I can take you out by the power of God when I get good and ready." Victory came into the life of David. This is the happening. This is the scenario. This is what's going on when Abiathar comes to David. He's trembling. He's in fear. And he said, "David, Saul, he came to the temple when you left. He killed all the priests. He killed all the women. He killed all the children. He murdered everybody." And David looked at Abiathar, and all of a sudden things have changed. David didn't say, "Run and hide with me." David didn't say, "I know what you mean, brother. The devil's been on my back too. I've been down and out also. I'm defeated as well." No, David looked at him as his hand slipped under his coat, and he felt the handle of that sword again. And David looked at Abiathar, and he said, "Abiathar, the same one that wants your life, he wants my life. But if you hang with me, everything's gonna be all right." What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, I know it's tough. I know it's rough. I know you've been going through some things. I know the world can give you a blow. I know life can bring you down. Devastation can come. But I've come to tell you, in the Holy Ghost, you're in the right place. You've come to the right one. The anointing is in the house. If you'll stay in the church. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise for a moment. "But you don't understand. Everything's been taken from me. You don't understand. I've lost it all. Life has been horrible for the last few days, the last few months, the last year. My job's gone. My marriage is on the rocks. My kids are rebellious. My health is giving in.
Oh, friend, I know it's tough. I just come to tell you, your only hope this is what David was saying to Abiathar. If you go back out there, Saul will kill you just like he killed the other priest. But if you'll stay right here, everything's gonna be all right. If you'll stay with the anointed, if you'll stay with the army of the living God, if you'll stay with the called out and the chosen ones, it's gonna be okay. You're going to make it. I know it gets hard, but the answer's not going back out there. The answer's not quitting. The answer's not throwing in the towel. The answer's not giving up. No matter how difficult it gets, the answer is staying right here. Don't let nothing shake you. Don't let nothing quake you. Don't let nothing take you. Plant those feet. Get a hold of the anointing. Cleave to the house of God. Hold fast, and God will redeem. God will come through. Somebody worship him. Somebody praise him. Why don't we stand to our feet right now? Why don't we give God praise? Will you thank God for keeping you? Thank God for keeping you. Come on, send up a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, your answer's here. It's not out there. It's right here. You can be seated. You know how it is. You know how it is. You go through it. It's rough. It's tough. You're ready to throw in the towel, ready to give up. You walk through them doors, and you begin to feel the anointing. You look over to your right, and you see someone rubbing the sword of Goliath. Woo! What is it? It's victory in the house. It's victory in the house of God. You begin to feel that anointing. All of a sudden, you begin to feel a safety net. It comes around you. Oh, yes. I feel safe now. I'm amongst God's people. I'm in the anointing of the Lord. David said, abide thou with me. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take on my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isaiah put it this way: look unto me, and be you saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Isaiah 55 and 1, hold, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear your soul, and live. I will make you an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What are you saying, God? He's saying, if you'll abide with me, if you'll stay with me, I'll make everything right. I'll heal your wounds. I'll take care of your pains. I'll fix your past. I'll put things back together. I'll help your family. I'll bless your children. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. The devil's trying to kill you, but he's trying to kill me too. But guess what David said? I've got the sword of Goliath. I've got the sword of Goliath. Abide with me. What was David saying when he said, I got the sword of Goliath? I killed their biggest warrior. I took down their most mighty man. I defeated their greatest victor, their greatest power. I took him down. I cut his head off. I destroyed him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How did Jesus put it? He said, don't you fear the enemy. I conquered him. I gave him power over all the power. I gave you that power over all the power of the enemy. Don't fear death. I conquered death. Don't fear sickness. I conquered sickness. Don't fear poverty. I conquered it. I conquered it. I conquered it. I conquered it. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God has conquered it. And the best thing you can do is stay in the house. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. Somebody love him. Somebody love him. Tell your neighbor, God conquered it.
Paul the Apostle said in Acts 27, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. And he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. I think this is the only time in the Bible where God gave permission to someone to say, I told you so. You know how he points you? I told you so. I told you if you'd loose from Crete, you was going to be in a mess. You should have listened to me. That's what Paul said in that verse. I told you so. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Have you lost your mind? It has been 21 days since we have even seen the sun or a single star in the sky. We have been tossed to and fro. We've lost everything valuable to us has been tossed off the boat. We've only got a few things left. What do you mean? Be of good cheer. You must have lost your mind. But Paul went on to say, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but only the ship. Verse 24, saying, fear not. Thou must be brought. God says you must be brought before Caesar. But look at verse number 30. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. But 31, Paul said, the only way the lads are going to be saved is they must abide in the ship. If they'll stay in the boat, no matter how high the waves, no matter how strong the wind, if they'll stay in the boat, they'll be saved. Oh, I know sometimes it's hard. It's hard to hear a preacher. It's hard to hear a preacher sometimes. to get up and say, it's going to be all right. And you're like, dude, you're not in my boat. You're over there in a yacht cruising down the intercoastal. I'm out here in Gaston by Bermuda. And the waves are high. And it's just a little old rickety boat. And it looks like it's leaking. Listen, it's hard to hear a preacher sometime talk about how God can deliver. And how God will bless you. And how God will keep you and be there for you. When you're going through so much. And it didn't start today. You've been going through it for a long time. I mean, you've been facing this storm for day after day, maybe months, maybe more than months, maybe even a year, maybe 2 years. Who knows? I know some people face trials for a very, very long time. And the preacher gets up and says, hang in there. Hold on. God's going to bring you through. Everything's going to be all right. You know that. We say it all the time. And it's because it's true. But it's hard. Yeah, it's hard. You're sitting there, Sister Jackie, and some disastrous news just came to you just a few days ago. You can't see any way to fix it. You can't see any way to make it right. And the man of God gets up in the pulpit and says, if you'll just stay in the boat, it'll be all right. God will work everything. That's what those people felt like. They hadn't seen the sun for 21 days. They hadn't seen a storm in the sky. They've been tossed to and fro, back and forth. The wind had not stopped. The waves had not quit. And Paul gets up and says, be of good cheer. Yeah, be of good cheer, Brother Emmons. You only need a kidney transplant and a couple of eye transplants and probably a brain wouldn't hurt you either. Yeah, you know, we got things on. And Pastor gets up here and says, God is the healer. Be of good cheer. But you know what? If you'll stay in the boat. Paul reached over there and rubbed that Goliath sword. And he said, I had an angel appear to me last night. And he told me, not only will your life not be lost. How many of y'all combed your hair today? Woo! I am whooped. My wife and I were driving home. Y'all gonna have to get on that woman. We're driving home and we go by McDonald's. And it's midnight. We got a 2-hour drive in front of us. And she goes, don't you want a fish burger? And a large fry. I said, you know what's gonna happen to my body if I eat that thing. Oh, come on, baby. We don't do it all the time. And so we pass up one McDonald's. Unbeknownst to me, there was another McDonald's. Oh, it gets worse. We got a half a tank of gas. And my wife says, we need gas. I don't know. I'm dumb. I'm just a man. I pull into the gas station. Down, way down the street, and there they are, the arches. She knew there was another McDonald's by that gas station. Sometimes you just gotta give in. So I'm whooped. I got. And then not only did I eat my large fry. Oh, she takes 2 bites of her fish burger and eats 4 fries and then makes me eat hers too. Because we're not supposed to waste food, right? So that's why I'm tired. However, this is where I'm going. Wanda, did you comb your hair today? Did any hair come out? 1 or 2 pieces? Yeah. Did you do anything to your hair today? Looks nice. Did any hair come out? Listen, we are cleaning the sink every other day. I don't know how she's not bald.
How can that much hair come out every day? And you still got hair. It's amazing. Paul said, not only will there not be loss of life, but not one hair from any of your heads will come off during this time of trial. And when you read about that event, that boat hits that old rock. They dive into the water, some by board, some by, and they swim. They get there. They probably come up on the rocks. Their hair, their heads, everything is everywhere. But God said, not only will I save your life, but not one hair off your head will fall. I'm here to tell you, you stay in this thing. Not only is God going to keep you safe, but he's not going to let one harm, one thing come against you. God will protect you. He will help you. He will deliver you. He is God. Tell your neighbor, abide with him. Tell your neighbor, stay in the church. Hey, this is good word. Worship the Lord for a moment. God's word is powerful. David said, whoo. David probably said that too. He said, abide thou with me. I'll never make it through all this. So we'll just kind of touch on it. And then he said, Fear not. Do you know that in the Bible, in one form or another, now, it may not be the word fear not, but the Greek word or the Hebrew word is the same. So it may be something different, like don't be afraid, or don't worry. Whatever word is used, the root, the Greek or the Hebrew, depending on old or new, is the same word. And do you know that the Bible uses that word 365 times? I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that that is a fear not for every day of the year. Now, I know there's 365 days in American calendar. I understand they were on the Jewish calendar. They're in 365 days. But I'm an American, and I'm reading an American Bible, and this is why it works in America. So for every day that you get up, God has a fear not. For every morning, no matter what's going on in your life, God says, fear not. Why? Because you're standing next to the guy holding Goliath's sword, who took down the biggest, baddest that there is in the universe. Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says that the last enemy to be forever cast into the lake of fire is death. Forever cast. But in order to cast him, you must defeat him. He has already been defeated. He rose from the grave, and he pulled 500 more out of the grave with him. And they all walked around the city, greeting their loved ones and cousins and uncles, and everybody checking it out and saying, dude,
I've watched them put you in the ground. I'm just here to tell you, you better get in the boat with this one called Jesus, because he is going to keep you safe. Somebody say, fear not. Paul told those soldiers, be of good cheer. Fear not. And the word of the Lord continues on. And Paul says here, I want to finish this real quick. He said, he that seeketh my life seeketh your life. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But then the word tells us we are not ignorant of his devices. We are aware of his trickery and the wiles of the devil. God will give you revelation. He will give you understanding. He will lead and he will guide you. And the things that happen to you out there, when you come in here and you get a hold of God and you get a hold of this truth, it's going to be different now, because God is going to lead you and God is going to guide you. And when the devil would have deceived you, God will bring revelation. God will bring understanding, and he'll bring you strength in order to defeat the deception that has come into your life, and plant your feet against unrighteousness, and plant your feet into righteousness. And no matter how difficult the storm, no matter how rough it gets, I'm in the boat, because God said, if I'll abide with him, the enemy that seeks after him seeks after me, but I'll be safe with him. I'll be safe. Let's stand. Music, if you'll come. I want to bring this to an end. He said, with me thou shalt be in safeguard. Acts 27 and 41. The Bible says, and falling into a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground. I don't have time for all of this, but listen. It even gets rough in the church. You've lived for God long enough, you know. Even in the church, it gets rough. But the promise remains that if you'll stay in it, you'll make it out of here. You'll get through. You'll make it. They ran the ship aground. The foreport stuck fast, remained unmovable. But the hinder port was broken with the violence of the waves. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. And I want you to hear this. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you like it is. There never has been, and there never will be, one promise of God ever broken. And whoever he's got to move on, and whatever he's got to do to make sure that his promise is kept, he'll do it. Those soldiers pulled their swords out, because if one prisoner escapes, they get their head cut off. It's their job to keep the prisoners. If one prisoner escapes, you follow me in my folly. It's their job to keep the prisoner. Not one can escape. The boat breaks. The prisoners were about to go free into the water towards the land. Soldiers pull their swords. they're going to kill the prisoners. God moves on the centurion, the leader of all of the soldiers. And he said, sheathe your swords. Touch not one man. Let all of us swim to shore in safety. What was God doing? He was keeping his promise. He said, not one man will die. Not one hair. Listen, if he said not one hair is going to come off your head, he's certainly not going to let your head come off. Touch them not. Hey, I'm telling you, this is the place to be. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. This is the place to be. You get in this place. You abide with him. And oh, you just need to get those three Wednesday nights. But listen, you abide with him and he abides in you. And the same one that sought his life, that nailed him to a cross, but he victoriously came out of the grave. He said, the same one that seeks my life, seeks your life. He said, but you stay with me, you'll be all right. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure you get out of this thing. We'll get out of this together. And one day I'm going to come back and the trump's going to blow and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those of us that are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them in the air forever to be with the Lord. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. You're here today and you're going through some very difficult things. You tried to fix it on your own, but you can't. You just keep failing over and over, over and over. You know what would have happened if Abiathar would have stayed and tried to fight with the rest or fix it? They'd have killed him too. You can't fight this thing on your own. Your flesh cannot defeat sin. Your flesh cannot overcome temptation. You will fail every time. The only way to win is to abide with him. You start abiding with him. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll fix it. Not one hair will come off your head. I'll never let my promise fail. I'll help you out of this mess. My Lord, give him praise. The Lord has spoken. The Lord has spoken. Come on, somebody, love him. Love him, love him, love him. This altar is open.
This altar is open. Come on, you need God. You need God to help you right now. You need God. You need His help. You need His strength. Continue to worship and pray, church. Continue to worship and pray. Magnify the Lord. Make your way to this altar. If you're going through something and you're facing something and you don't know how to get out of it, you don't know how to come through it, this altar is open to you. God has come to renew His promise in your life. He's come to strengthen you. He's come to encourage you. Encourage you here today to stay. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how rough it is, stay in the fold. Stay in the house of God. Stay, because only if you abide with Him can you be safe. Only if you abide with Him can you be safe. Oh, get a hold of this right now. Get a hold of this. You can't do it on your own. You can't fix this on your own. You tried. Stop convincing yourself you're going to do better next time. Stop convincing yourself you've got control over it. No, you don't. It has control over you. Come on. Come on. Come on, Abiathar. Find David. Come on, Abiathar. Find the one with the sword. Find the one with the victory. Find the one with the anointing. And abide with them. It's your only hope. You got to stay. You got to stay in the church. If you're here today and you do not have the Holy Ghost, you've never been filled with the power of God, you've never been filled with the anointing, I encourage you so much. I encourage you. Come down to this altar. Find somebody. It doesn't matter who they are. You don't have to know them. We all love one another here. Just find them and say, hey, will you pray with me? I need God. I need God. I know you love Him. I know you love Him. He loves you. I understand that. I know you have a relationship with Him. It's the reason why you're here today, because you love Him. But He's come to help you. He's come to touch you mightily. He's come to bless you powerfully. He's come to move upon you greater than He's ever moved upon you. He's come to abide in you, and you abide in Him. Because He's going to keep you safe. Let's pray. Let's find somebody to pray. I'm telling you, the Lord has moved in this place today.